You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Back, Ed is still on the line here, and Art, you know, we're talking about this very real likelihood of some massive fraud, voter fraud, in the state of Alabama, based on what you have said and what I have been reading in the lawsuit, the litigation now that is being acknowledged. The media won't drop it, as far as the seeming arrogance of the judge. Saying, you know, he will not concede. Well, quite frankly, I wouldn't concede either under these circumstances. You know, Ed, and do you honestly believe, given the corruption, the level of corruption in these states now that have shadowed and mirrored the image of the federal government because of the deficits and the need for money, you honestly think you're going to get an honest hearing in court? I mean, it may very well be, but do you think it can be done? And would it actually result in the calling for a new election? I mean, what would be the result in this case?
Well, I can tell you. Oh, sorry, Art, go ahead.
I'll just say real quick, I've helped the election recounts. The thing they do is they look at when you go to vote, you actually sign a document saying that you were there at the polls. So you would count the number of actual voters that were at the polls. And if that's off by 600,000 bucks, I mean 600,000 people, then something's really rotten in Denmark.
Absolutely. And also to set up this fraudulent election on Tuesday, Rick, notice all major polls had conceded that he was going to win, Roy Moore, handily in that, as they put it, red state. And he was up by 10, 11 points with one exception. The Fox News poll that came out of nowhere over last weekend and said that Doug Jones was going to win by 10 percentage points with no basis to give. Then couple that with Frank Lutz, their big focus group man, who there's their real poll, and he was upset. He went down there and interviewed all these Alabama women, and he was stunned that they were going to back Roy Moore to the point where he was getting angry, badgering them in his focus group, and that's the real poll. So they lash out. Notice it was Fox News at 9:20 p.m. on Tuesday before the votes were even in. Yeah, it was them to let it off. And that is for the national brainwashed psyche to have the conservative network, Fox.
Right, yeah, I caught that. I caught that right away. Yeah, that was an interesting turn of events. So, you know, I mean, again, we're being lied to on a daily basis about everything. This is particularly odious because I know people have had their perceptions about what it would have meant in the Senate with Moore there, but what are your perceptions? You know, we went through this with the sudden Scalia death on the court, and now we have something not quite similar, but another scenario in the Senate. What do you think, and who do you think ultimately is behind such a this fraud, if it can be established?
Mitch McConnell and Utah's own Mitt Romney. They were early, just like Mitt Romney was early to bash Trump a year ago when he saw danger for the establishment. He was the one who believed the lying women against Roy Moore a month ago, and that's been established. They're not even bringing up Bev Nelson because she's now admitted that she added her own words to that yearbook. And you and I were saying that early on. But now they've had to admit that, so they've come up with other things. So to answer your question, Mitt Romney, the usual suspects in the establishment. But unfortunately, we have the pragmatists in the White House, a man that I voted for and still have to hold out, like Art here, some hope for, Donald Trump. But here you have Steve Bannon. Now, just yesterday said it's time for Roy Moore to give it up. No, Steve, you should shut up on this one, Steve. I like you in a lot of ways, but you don't belong in that Alabama race. And you and Trump, yes, you endorsed Moore, but you did it at the very end. And Trump even goes to Pensacola. Why did he show up on stage shaking Moore's hand? He really didn't embrace him like it's mostly for a psyop. Would you agree, Rick?
I would agree that this entire whole process in America today is scripted. Let me just state it that way, okay? That we have illusions, we have delusions, we have the perception, first of all, that your vote indeed does count. And that is just plain false for a variety of reasons, okay? And I know Art will chime in, and he's right about putting them out of business in the corporate world and boycotting and so on and so forth. But that aside, I have to say that, let's face it, we have no elections in this country. They are selections. The voting machines, the very process of corrupting the minds of people through the media, through all of the political channels, and how the Democrats and Republicans are one party. They're not two parties. They're one party. What you say is true. Of course, Mitch McConnell is a renegade. He's a traitor. Just like Paul Ryan is, and just like all of those before him, you can go right down the list. There isn't a dime's worth of difference between them. And didn't George Wallace from Alabama say that once?
Another Alabaman. And the other thing, Rick, if you take a step back, you just mentioned all the corrupt people there. They all, early on, including Trump, they were for Luther Strange, Dr. Strangelove.
Yes.
They were for Dr. Strangelove against Moore and even against Mo Brooks, who would have been better than Dr. Strangelove. But the real man here who could do more than the U.S. Senate himself, Roy Moore, if he could expose vote fraud and launch a national awareness and movement at this particular moment in time, seizing the moment, he could do better there with this one episode, like he did with the Ten Commandments and gay marriage. He could do so much for this country by exposing it, more than he could do in 2 years in the U.S. Senate.
Well, that's true enough. I agree. I think we all agree on that. I have to ask you a question, too, personally now. Have you ever called the Rush Limbaugh program?
Me?
Yeah.
Never got through. I tried 2 times.
Okay.
Couldn't get by at all.
I'm only saying that because there was a fellow who called some time ago, about a month ago. He got through the screener and then was popped off the air, and he sounded quite much like you. And he was, and I heard it because it was all over the net too. And the guy was calling in, and he was telling Rush Limbaugh that he was telling him, you know, it's not the Muslims that control banking; it's the Jews that control banking, the broadcast, the media, and everything else. Okay, Rush Limbaugh says, how did he get through? How did that guy get through? Oh, I thought we were free talk radio, you know. How did he get through? And he sounded just like you. It was so amusing. I said, maybe that is Ed from Utah, you know. But anyway,
It was a good guess, Rick, a good guess on your part. I have talked to Sean Hannity in times past, and I used to get through to some of the big names on there. And just not that I'd convince them. It was their audience. I was trying to get some information, and I'd bring up the American Free Press newspaper to give them a plug. Yeah. And I know it's had some impact. Speaking of which, the American Free Press, trust me, they will, because we're going to need this documented, the Roy Moore recount attempt here, Rick, and you do a good job on the show, and RBN does, but we need things in print. That's where the American Free Press comes in. They will, trust me, be on this, and they'll have a whole layout of whatever vote fraud took place in Alabama in the coming issues of the American Free Press.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, you're right, though, to question everything and to see this set up like a house of cards. And I didn't want to pursue it much today. I would have mentioned it. But this is not about Roy Moore. This is really about states, elections, selections, fraud on a massive scale. Because if it can be shown that this is the case, then really there's no point in voting anymore at all. And I think people have to see that. You know, it's time to bring the guns out. You know, I hate to put it that way, but that's the time. Okay.
You got
right,
it. And what if, how would Donald Trump have reacted if somebody said, remember when they were getting on him, when they said, will you accept the results? Well, he said, not necessarily. Boy, they had a tizzy fit because, and I think that's what allowed the election maybe to be somewhat clean. They knew he would call recounts and what have you. What if somebody told him, you can't have a recount? And that's what they're trying to tell Roy Moore today.
Well, he's got a battery of lawyers, and we'll see what they do with this, if they can be trusted. Some on his team, you know, are probably suspect. You know, these little Keenites get involved in everything, and they might be able to allow it to go through, but then again, they might not. At this point, we're at the end of the Roman Empire, and I think of the Roman Senate, and Judge Moore or someone similar trying to get into the Senate to change things, and here they've already sharpened their blades and their knives, and they're about to kill Caesar, you know. And like I'm saying, we're at that point. So how much does it really matter ultimately? Well, ultimately in the grand scheme of things, it really doesn't matter. But it does from a point of view of exposing the corruption in government and the media particularly. So you're right. Thank you very much, Ed. Good to hear your voice. Yes, appreciate it. All right. Well, I mean, I think Ed said a lot, don't you, Art?
Yes, I would say... Just remember, there's a saying from Italy and also the ancient Roman Empire, watch out for the little guy, he'll always get you. And as you mentioned in the Senate, Julius Caesar, torqued off some of the wrong people, and that was the end of him. He met his demise.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that every little person out there should be doing whatever they can to basically take a little piece of the armor out of this cabal.
Well, I agree fully, and you have done a lot, and this is not to diminish what you say. I think what you say is quite valid as far as the boycotts, the economic pressure, political pressure at the local level is very important, because that's where you have the most contact with these, you know, these SOBs, if you will, you know, at your council meetings, your school department meeting. And, you know, we used to have people like that in Rhode Island. Some of them are unfortunately no longer with us, but there was a guy, Tom Wheeler, and he was in Barrington, Rhode Island, a very heavy community with these, shall we call them, parasites. And he used to go to every town meeting, he used to go to every school committee meeting, and he raised a lot of heck, and he had lawsuits, and what he did was he tied up the town, and he succeeded in tying up the courts with a lot of the litigation that really served that purpose of stonewalling and creating a like a hammerlock on the process. Those things really may sound petty to some and vindictive, but you know what? Hey, so be it. You have to make noise, because it's the squeaky wheel that gets the grease, right?
I would agree. So I would.
Now, Art, can you stay with us if we play? It's up to you. Because I know that you were one of the callers later on, not on this segment. I'd like to give our listeners some segments here between our breaks and of the program we did in 2011 with Mike Piper on JFK. And he connects all of the dots to Israel. So if you wish to stay and comment after, I'd like to get your opinion. But if you can't, I understand that. Okay, so it's up to you.
I do have to run some errands, so I will... take a rain check on that and catch up with you.
But you will be catching the archive. We'll get it up again on the archive. All right, good. I want to start that. Thank you, Art, for being with us. No Place for Corruption is Art's website. And again, it was a good show with you today. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye. All right, folks, Sam is ready to cue up the beginning. Now, bear in mind that all of the commercials are edited out of the broadcast, so there'll be some bumper music in between, but I think we have enough time right now maybe to start a few minutes of that famous program. This is just, again, the first 20 minutes or so with Mike Piper on JFK, and this is the time of year that at this Christmas season we should remember what was done to JFK and who was actually involved in it. So let's see if we can begin that right now, Sam, and we'll interrupt Art.
Good evening, everyone, ladies and gentlemen, and children of all ages. Back again tonight on this Tuesday night edition of our program, Rick Adams Uncensored on Republic. And I am very pleased to bring with us tonight on the program none other than Michael Collins Piper, who, of course, we have been accustomed to hearing on this network over a long period of time. And I'm glad to say that we are hearing his voice again tonight. It's been a long time. Good evening, Mike.
Thanks for having me on. Thanks for your invitation. I was thinking, I just want to mention this for the record, you know, you and I have a history that goes way, way back to a time in your career that I don't think a lot of RBN listeners are familiar with. I mean, you're very familiar now to a lot of people through RBN, literally to an international audience. But what a lot of RBN listeners don't know is that way back when, long before the Internet, long before there was a big explosion of real hardcore, independent, dissident-minded programming, you were carrying on exactly what you're doing today on some local radio stations up in Rhode Island. And,
yes.
So you were a genuine pioneer in this business, and I just want to mention that and give you the kudos and the credit where it's due.
Oh, my. All right. Now, you know the way to a man's heart, right? Well,
I personally like good cigars and whiskey myself, but yeah.
Well, it is good to have you back and hear your voice again. It's been a long time, and I do remember those days going back after 9/11 and how actually we had you on some of those local programs,
mm-hmm.
and the response was quite good because, as you know, in what is called mainstream radio today, there is a taboo virtually on discussing these issues that are most relevant. You know,
Absolutely.
It's like all the news that's fit to print and then some, right?
Yeah, more or less, or less or more, yeah.
Right, right. Now, tonight, I know your forte, your special interest, of course, has been in the JFK assassination. And that has always intrigued me too. Not that I was a big fan of the Kennedy family or of JFK and the whole, you know, movement at the time. But looking back on it now, of course, I understand a lot more, thanks in large part to your work and others, than I did at the time. You know, I was only a young lad growing up, and we all got the news about Kennedy, and you know, it was a time of great shattering of innocence in America. It was a time that a generation had never seen before. So it was an eye-opener to read your book, The Final Judgment, that you wrote, I guess in the 90s. Was it 94?
1994 it came out.
Yeah, yeah. And all this time has gone by. And we'll discuss that and an update on it tonight and your latest research and conclusions about the JFK assassination, because we know we're not getting the truth from the media or the government. All right, Mike. Hey, we got our first break, and we will come right back with Michael Collins Piper, my guest tonight.
Get back at him with Rick Adams, the Radio Avenger, on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Okay, we're back now, and we are going right back to Mike Piper. And Mike, gee whiz, it's been a while that we've been able to talk on air and even in person. And I guess a good place to be would be your original book that you wrote in 1994, The Final Judgment. And for those new listeners who are just listening now, who never knew much about this book or about you, why don't you tell us what was the main inspiration for you in being intrigued enough to write this volume, this great book that you've written on JFK and the assassination?
Well, you know, that's a very interesting question, because when I started writing the book, or when I first, well, let's put it this way, I'd always been interested in the Kennedy assassination. It was one of a sub-series of different subjects that I had a wide-ranging interest in and read a lot of books on the topic. I was interested in the sinking of the Titanic.
Right.
Going back years and years ago, long before it became very popular, and I was...
And I think we do have that break right now, ladies and gentlemen, the real break here today on today's Saturday broadcast. Okay, we will return
with the re-airing of this segment from that interview with Mike Pike.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it. At AROutfitting.com.
We're back, folks. We're going to continue to air this segment now with Mike Collins Piper on the JFK assassination and his book, The Final Judgment, The Links to the Mossad in Jerusalem. Okay, we'll resume now.
I was interested in the JFK assassination. A few other odds and ends of that nature over the years. And I had pretty much already concluded, going back to the time I was in junior high school, that the CIA had been involved in the Kennedy assassination with a little bit of assist from elements in organized crime and obviously involving, you know, anti-Castro Cubans. And that's a pretty standard assessment of the JFK assassination. And it's an assessment of the JFK assassination that has not considerably changed in my mind, even to this day, because I think if you look at the record, it's very, very clear. Mark Lane, in his book Plausible Denial, and in his new book, I think it's called Last Word, not to be confused with Final Judgment, but Mark, who is one of the pioneer JFK assassination researchers, he has put a lot of his research together in this new book that just came out. And I don't think there's any doubt in anyone's mind that the CIA, elements in the CIA played a major part in the Kennedy assassination. And it's kind of funny, as I noted in Final Judgment, my mother had said to me one time many years ago, she said, why don't you write a book on the Kennedy assassination? And I said, well, there's no need to write a book on it because it's pretty much been told. But certain things over the years I had read in a number of standard works on the JFK assassination had always nagged at me, but I didn't think too much about it until maybe the early 1990s when several books came out that for the first time explored JFK's, and I should say secret, relations with Israel. Mm-hmm. And the reason why I say they're secret, his secret relations with Israel, is because this information about it came out in three books that, while some of them, you know, were reviewed and mentioned in the mass media, the details of the books largely remained hidden. First book was a book by Jewish-American writer and Pulitzer Prize winner Seymour Hersh, The Samson Option.
Right.
It was a book about Israel's relationship with the United States, in particular vis-a-vis the nuclear bomb. Mm-hmm. A similar book was written by Andrew and Leslie Coburn, Dangerous Liaison, or maybe it's Dangerous Liaison, anyway, a book about U.S.-Israeli relations. And also Jewish-American writer Stephen Green wrote a book, and the title of that book escapes me at the moment. It's Taking Sides, America's Secret Relations with a Militant Israel. And in that book, and also in the Coburn's book, the fact of JFK's very rocky relationship with the State of Israel over a number of policy issues, this data was explored.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I had always been told that all the Jews loved JFK, and JFK was a loyal friend of Israel, and, you know, there was nothing greater in JFK's foreign policy view than dear little Israel. Well, that wasn't true. And in fact, as these three books very carefully document, and which subsequent books such as Abner Cohen's book, Israel and the Bomb, have documented, and of course Abner Cohen is a Jewish person from mm-hmm. Israel, so he can't very well be accused of being a neo-Nazi or an anti-Semite. These books all very forcefully and carefully documented beyond any question that John F. Kennedy was trying to stop Israel from building nuclear weapons. And as we now know, thanks to this material and others that has been, other material that's since come out, President Kennedy considered the Israeli nuclear weapons program to be a top priority. This was not just some peripheral matter. This was a nuclear proliferation was a top priority, and Israeli nuclear proliferation was at the top of that particular priority.
Mm-hmm.
And Ethan Bronner, I believe it was, writing in the New York Times, summarized it quite well when he said in words to this effect, and this quotation appears in the Final Judgment. You can probably even find it on the Internet somewhere, that Abner Cohen's book pretty much makes it clear that had JFK lived, Israel would not have been able to achieve a nuclear arsenal. Okay, well, that's a pretty powerful thing, and a lot of my critics have said, oh, well, there were many groups that were opposed to JFK, and there were many different people that JFK was at odds with. But Israel would never kill an American president because...
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. Center. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Do you worry a lot? If you're forgetful, nervous, moody, or overwhelmed, chances are you're not protecting yourself from the ravaging effects of stress and anxiety. No matter the cause, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, your quality of life, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in as little as 1 to 2 weeks and increase your ability to recall facts, names, and numbers in 4 to 12 weeks. Calm and Clever was created by scientist Kurt Hendricks, a principal investigator in 2 NIH-funded studies on Alzheimer's disease. Try Calm and Clever for 2 months. You'll feel the difference. Call 1-800-758-8746 or go to calmandclever.com.
Extendivite, a 7-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Rick Adams is back.
Radio Avenger, the Paul Revere of talk radio.
But Israel would never kill an American president because America is its greatest ally. And one can only imagine what would happen, they always say, if word got out that Israel had been involved in a JFK assassination. Well,
yeah, like the Liberty. Yeah,
right. Yes, exactly. Thank you, Rick. Thank you. I didn't even think of that analogy, you know, but that's perfect. Absolutely.
We saw what we did in that case. We went to war.
Now the problem... Oh, I mean, we could go in a million different directions.
Yeah.
The bottom line of it is, uh-huh. Israeli Prime Minister David Ben-Gurion quit as Prime Minister precisely, not for this only this reason, but it was one of the reasons why he quit as Prime Minister in 1963, because he was fed up with John F. Kennedy.
Mm-hmm.
And he had written a letter, and this is in U.S. State Department files that have been published by the State Department. The Prime Minister of Israel wrote a letter to President Kennedy saying that Israel's very survival was in danger, and he makes it clear that survival was in danger because he perceived President John F. Kennedy to not be sufficiently supportive of Israel's demands on the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, Jim Mars, who is hailed as one of the great JFK assassination researchers, in an appearance on the Alex Jones program a few years ago, said that one of the greatest motives for committing murder is survival.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Jim Mars correctly noted that John F. Kennedy was moving against organized crime, and that organized crime consequently would have a reason to be involved in the Kennedy assassination. And he also pointed out, Mr. Mars did, that the CIA had a reason for its own survival and for that reason would want to move against JFK. But he did not mention that one country in the world that considered JFK a threat to its survival, and that was the state of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And that is where final judgment comes in here, because we provide the motive. The book provides the motive, but it also shows how key figures in organized crime,
mm-hmm.
popularly known as the mafia, but I don't like that terminology because it makes everybody think that the Italian-Americans were in charge of the crime syndicate when they weren't.
We call it the Cosa Nostra.
The Cosa Nostra, that's right. And also, if you look at the key figures in the CIA realm, who have been repeatedly implicated mm-hmm. in a JFK assassination, they are all people with intimate ties not only to Israel and to the powerful Jewish lobby in America, but to Israel's nuclear weapons program.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, I'll give three examples. Okay. We always hear about there's a number of kind of independent-minded, liberal JFK assassination writers over the years who have, and I'll name them. I've mentioned these names before when I was on Deanna Spingola's program the other day here in Arby's.
Yeah,
I mentioned
yeah.
This guy, James D. Eugenio. Mm-hmm. Now, he and several people associated with him have written about James Angleton and the CIA, and
mm-hmm.
and other people have written about Angleton and the CIA, and there's no question that Angleton was involved in setting up Lee Harvey Oswald, that Angleton, who was the number three man in the CIA, had his eye on Oswald for years.
Mm-hmm.
And Angleton, as we all know, those of us who have studied the matter, Angleton was a key player in the cover-up. Angleton, and this is the part they always seem to avoid mentioning, or they try to skirt around it and say it had nothing to do with the assassination or Angleton's motivations. Angleton was the head of the Mossad desk at the CIA, but he was more than that. He was a deeply devoted loyalist of Israel. Now, he wasn't Jewish. A lot of people have claimed over the years that he was Jewish. I've never seen any evidence of that, but it doesn't really matter one way or the other, because the fact is he was a valued ally of Israel at the CIA. So mm-hmm. there is one of the probably the key high-level CIA figure who was involved in the Kennedy assassination. We often hear about David Atlee Phillips. Now, Mr.
Yeah.
Phillips is believed by many people to have possibly been Lee Harvey Oswald's handler or involved with him in some way. Mr. Phillips, after leaving the CIA, became a key figure in a company that was involved in arms deals connected to Israel. Now, that's just kind of a minor
yeah.
point right there, but it's another one of these things that people forget about. More importantly, we've all heard the name Frank Sturgis, who's often been believed by many people. I don't personally believe him to have been one of the three tramps in Dallas, but I do believe that he was in Dallas. I've seen documentary evidence indicating that in his own handwriting, Frank Sturgis said that he was working for James Angleton when he was in Dallas
mm-hmm.
at the time of the Kennedy assassination. And there have been many, many people who have looked into Sturgis and firmly believe that he was involved in the assassination, not as a gunman, but as a coordinator. We'll get more to that when we come
yes.
back.
Yes, all right. It's getting interesting, and there, as you said, there are so many directions to go in. But we'll try to cover some of the bases tonight. Folks, our guest is Michael Collins Piper, The Final Judgment, and much more. We'll come right back with more of Rick Adams Uncensored in 3 minutes. Stay with us.
Now we can see a new world coming into view, a world in which there is the very real prospect of a new world order.
All right, hey, we're back now with Mike Piper and talking about the JFK assassination. Well, Mike, you brought up some of the names, of course, in your book, and some of those names that, as you have said, have never been quite brought up in the context of the Israeli connection, interestingly enough. And, you know, I was saying the other night how it really goes from the sublime to the ridiculous, you know, in terms of theories and all sorts of, you know, constructs in America today. From those who say they still believe, and the computers will prove it, in the single gunman, the single bullet theory, blah, 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 to those who believe in a conspiracy. But like all other intrigues, assassinations, wars, and murders in the last century or so, it's interesting how this media will always be willing to entertain the idea of a conspiracy possibly from within our government, but never a conspiracy that would involve the poor little innocent, defenseless, tiny state of Israel. Isn't that amazing?
You know, that's funny, Rick, because, you know, I obviously, in the context of the book, I address this. And in Final Judgment, I have a chart. I have several charts that I put forth to try to illustrate my point. And one of them is a simple box in which other boxes all fit together very neatly in that same box.
Uh-huh.
And the smaller boxes say CIA, Mafia, Organized Crime, FBI, mm-hmm. Secret Service, et cetera, et cetera. But mm-hmm. the point is, the big box into which they all fit carefully together is what I call the Mossad box.
Yes.
And then I have another chart which shows all of the connections of all of these key players, individual players and intelligence organizations and entities. And in that chart, I show how, even to the extent that there is any acknowledgement of a possible conspiracy in the JFK assassination, the part that they keep covered up in the mainstream media, and unfortunately a lot of independent, quote-unquote independent journalists and patriot writers as well, they mm-hmm. just choose to look the other way when you start knocking, as I put it, Peter Dale Scott, who's one of the big researchers in the JFK assassination, mm-hmm. he'll walk up to the door that says Mossad and stare at it, but he won't knock on that door.
Well, yeah, I know. There's quite a few of them, right.
You know, and let me tell you a story here, and it actually happened on this network back when Kevin Barrett was a broadcaster here. He was interviewing Peter Dale Scott, who has written multiple books on the Kennedy assassination, and among liberal researchers, he's hailed as kind of like the godfather of JFK assassination research. And in his books, and in one book in particular, Deep Politics, which is kind of like a Bible to many of the liberal JFK assassination researchers, Dr. Scott wrote repeatedly about a very interesting character here in Washington, an old Jewish arms dealer named I. Irving Davidson, who was a good friend of Jimmy Hoffa. He was indicted alongside Carlos Marcello in the Brilab case that finally sent the old mafia boss of New Orleans to jail. He was a friend of Nixon, an associate of Jack Anderson and Drew Pearson. He knew everybody. He was tied up with the CIA. He's the arms dealer who introduced the Israeli Uzi here into the United States. He was a lobbyist for the Israeli aircraft industry. Very well-connected guy. And repeatedly over the years, Peter Dale Scott wrote that he figured that if there was anybody who was involved in the JFK assassination or had some role or inside knowledge of it, he said it had to be I. Irving Davidson. Well, this struck me as very, very interesting because Dr. Scott was being interviewed by Kevin Barrett, and I called up RBN. I didn't identify myself. I don't think even the RBN board operator knew who I was. I just said I was Mike. And I told Dr. Scott right there in the air that I really admired his work, which I do. And I mentioned to him on the air that I had noted that he had written quite a bit about this guy, I. Irving Davidson. Well, let me just tell you the story directly here. I knew I. Irving Davidson. He's a very, very old man now. He's born in 1920. He's in very frail health, but he was an old reader of our newspaper, The Spotlight. He used to stop in The Spotlight office. And he's a very interesting character, and we hit it off, and we used to have lunch all the time. And I gave him a copy of my book, Final Judgment, which, of course, mentioned many, many people and agencies that he was associated with. And he told me, one day I was standing right in his office down at the old Commerce Building here in Washington, D.C. He said, you know, he said, I read your book, Final Judgment. And he said, I think that's pretty much what happened. Well, I told, I called the program there where Peter Dale Scott was being interviewed, and I told him, I said, you know, I've read about Irving Davidson, and he told me one time that he thinks Michael Collins Piper's book, Final Judgment, is pretty much what happened. And old Dr. Scott said, oh, my word. Which is interesting because Peter Dale Scott, to information that's been brought to me, has repeatedly attacked me and my book. But here live on the air, he was told that the guy who he has repeatedly implicated in a JFK assassination felt that Mike Piper's book was the book which told pretty much what happened.
Uh-huh.
Well, then yeah. I told Dr. Scott who I was and kind of surprised.
I think we did an interview or tried to do an interview with Dale, as a matter of fact, on one of the subjects pertaining to 9/11, and that was a long time ago. Never heard from him since. Okay, let's take that break, Mike. We'll come right back with Michael Collins Piper. And we are back now live. Well, folks, you know that when you go and look at the kinds of books that might be available in the library, and this is, of course, the days before the Internet, and you try to find a book that you might think is worth reading, well, you, I guess one way of doing that is looking at some of the critiques of that book by certain vested interests, and I get a kick out of some of the reviews from the Amazon audience of people who have bought The Final Judgment, and it's republications, and one comes from a Mr. Bomberg in Illinois, who says, this book is an exercise in tedium, boring and poorly written. This book was produced mainly for Piper's fellow anti-Semites, who will eat up every pseudo-revelation of Israel's perfidy. It comes as no surprise to learn that Piper is also a Holocaust denier, blinded by hate. Piper sees a Jew in every woodpile. The main thing I learned from this book was that apparently it is now possible to prove that anybody killed Kennedy. Just pick candidate and then throw around wild and spurious accusations. Unfortunately, Amazon doesn't allow ratings in the negative numbers. Well, that's the sort of thing, Mike, that turns me on to a book.
Well, you know, that's very
your book is no exception.
You know, that's very interesting you say that, because that guy was part of a team of librarians who formally reviewed my book at the Schomburg Library in Illinois, and the chief reviewer was an Israeli named Yuri Tosh, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Tom
Holmberg, I believe his name was.
Yes.
He wasn't Jewish himself, so far as I know, but he was working with an Israeli librarian.
Well, the American Library Association, you know, was quite notorious in many days in the 60s and 70s in censoring from the shelves a number of books like yours, and then they put on the shelves the ADL books about the radical right and all sorts of nefarious conspiracies that they saw under every bed of anti-Semitism.
You know, Rick, over the years, I don't know how many times I have heard from people who donated copies of my book, that book in particular, to their local library.
Yep.
And then and this even happened in my hometown library that I donated a copy. But I'll tell you what they would tell me is that the book was on the shelf. It was being lent out as a formal selection of the library. And as I say, I've heard this story numerous times. What would happen is they would go to check and see if the book was there, and the book would not be there. And they would go to the librarians, and the librarians would say, well, it's still in the catalog.
Yep.
But, see, the book had been removed from the library. Now, I had a big laugh a few years ago when a Jewish-American writer named Mr. Fried, F-R-I-E-D, he re-released his book about the role of Jewish folks in organized crime. And I forget the name of that book. As I always mention, past few years, I tend to forget the names of authors and books. I know what's in the books, but I can't remember the names of them.
Well,
but anyway,
there's so many to remember.
Yeah, that's true enough.
Up,
but now we have the Internet. We can look it up. But the author's name was Fried. And when he reissued his book, he mentioned in a wry little footnote in the back of the book that over the years his book had disappeared from many libraries. And he kind of commented that he thought that maybe the book was so good that people just couldn't resist stealing it. But obviously he understood what was happening.
Oh, yes.
The book was being removed from the library because it addressed things that were not to be mentioned, you know.
Well, you know, it's so funny because recently, not too recent, but I'd say about 6 to 8 weeks ago, I brought it up on the program that I read the one of the local trashy newspapers online, and one of the stories they did was, of course, the letter at this time of year of George Washington to Touro Synagogue, which is here in Newport, Rhode Island, as you know. And it was about the slave traffic and the issue of, well, actually about the whole concept of George Washington and tolerance in America. And, of course, I wrote in on the feedback column at the time. They had an old software program, which they've now changed and eliminated a lot of that. But I wrote in and I said, interestingly enough, nowhere in this article.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. As most of you know, my regular listeners, I offer energy cleaners for sale at my website. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, go to my website, thelibertyman.com, educate yourself about these marvelous healing devices. We focus on pain mitigation and getting a great night's sleep. Arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, doesn't matter. Keep in mind, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. Energy cleaners, $285, shipping included, to American zip codes. You can educate yourself all about the energy cleaner right there at my website, the patent application, the wonderful testimonials. Be sure and check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads to go with the energy cleaner. Now, I offer, for me to you personally, a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. I have a toll-free order line, or you can order it right at my website at thelibertyman.com. The toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Thank you.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
If you are one of the millions of people who get migraines, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist who created MigRelief, the patented dietary supplement that addresses nutritional deficiencies in adults and children with migraines. Thousands of physicians and pharmacists recommend MigRelief.
Call 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
All righty, I think we're back now live, ladies and gentlemen. Rick Adams here, and
Well, I don't know about you, but I certainly enjoyed playing once again the clip of the, well, I guess we've had him on for several hours on the subject of JFK. On YouTube, you will find it, and Michael Collins Piper appears on Rick Adams Uncensored. At the time, it was Radio Free America, but Rick Adams Uncensored, and the graphics are there, and you see the pictures of Ben-Gurion, and you see a couple of the guys that were involved. I think his name was Ruby or Rubenstein, Jack Rubenstein or Jakob Rubenstein, Dallas and the Dallas Police Department, and you'll see the pictures that one of our good friends has managed to put up, and believe it or not, it's almost, what is it, 7,600 hits on that video, and I'm surprised they haven't taken it down yet, but don't say it too loud. Well, in any event, you know, the book for The Final Judgment is still being offered by AFP, and you can still buy it, and it is more relevant now, I think, in some ways than it ever was. People are curious, those that have thinking minds and intelligence and care enough. The problem today, most do not care, and that is why they can release these little tidbits that they claim are factual from the files of the National Archives, and who's going to read through 10,000 pages? We have this so-called tax bill that is over 1,000 pages. Now, who read it in the Republican or Democrat Party? I can assure you, nobody. Nobody read it word for word, any more than they read the Patriot Act when that was passed. They don't have to. They just follow orders. I mean, that's all it's all about, is following orders. So, ladies and gentlemen, it's clear what we have seen in these programs right here all these years on RBN, really been here for a long time, over 14 years, that nothing has changed except it has gotten much worse. And that is because God is in control. And he's going to see it through the end, very end. And all we have to do personally, I think, is to be on the right side and wind up on the right side of that gulf that exists in his heavenly dimension. Because I can assure you, people like Ben-Gurion, who were of the tribe of the Kenites, certainly his religion does not necessarily reflect his race. He was, I believe, a Buddhist, in fact. So religion and race are indeed separate entities, as we know. And so that's why if we look at all of the latest meanderings about how, you know, we know that Sandy Hook was a lie and a hoax, and we know the school, you know, the windows were supposed to have been blown out, and yet they received some quick paste-up work with puncture marks and all kinds of indentations later on, a pretty obvious fake job. And then we look at the Las Vegas shoot, and how certain talk show hosts and programmers and news anchors on TV stations in L.A. or Las Vegas are questioning them. So they're also questioning how many shooters there were. We haven't seen any surveillance photos yet, have we? The message is just believe the media and trust your government. All right, don't forget Andrew Carrington Hitchcock's program, ladies and gentlemen, on his site by the same name, .com, AndrewCarringtonHitchcock.com. Great shows and great guests coming. Rick Adams, wonderful program. God willing, we'll see you next weekend before Christmas. And until then, hopefully we'll bear through the next series of days ahead. And Yahweh bless his elect.
There is an ongoing war right here in America. Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce. Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.